large fish. He's sliding down its tongue and making his way through his digestive tract. The ghastly stench of raw fish invades his nostrils and takes up its habitation in his pores. He's being sorted through the constrictions of this fish's stomach, encountered amongst the myriads of tiny creatures that make up its daily meal. Jonah's being constrained into the deepest darkness and made to go wherever the stomach of this fish manipulates him. He's suffocated in stench and constricted into a deep, dark pit in which he finally reaches his holding place. Out of the grasp of life, hidden to the world, forgotten by all, except one. The grace of God isn't always as we expect. God's grace doesn't always come in pretty packages with ribbons tied around them. God's grace doesn't always feel pleasant when we receive it, but it is our only hope and deliverance. The grace of God often isn't comfortable, but it is our only hope and deliverance. It's through the grace of a fierce and deadly storm and in the grace of drowning helplessly in an overbearing ocean and from within the pit of a reeking, devouring digestive tract that Jonah sits in the grace of God Almighty. Look with me at chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. It's only then that Jonah prays to the Lord. Not when the storm's raging and he's still on the ship. Not when he's about to be thrown overboard into this raging sea. Not when he's drowning helplessly to death in the ocean. But when he's reached his place of greatest desperation, it's then and only then that Jonah prays to the Lord. Some of us here today that still haven't sought the Lord in prayer. There's some of us who still haven't had our then moment. We've gone through some stuff. We've got rotten stories to tell. We've suffered pain. We're sinking in the fierce ocean waves of this world, but we still haven't cried out to God. Today's the day. Make today the day that you seek the living God. Confess the gripe that you have with Him. Whatever you're holding against God, whatever you're blaming him for, whatever he's allowed to happen to you that you don't understand, bring it to him today. Verse 2. I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. God hears the voice of the prodigal. Yes, Jonah in his distress cries out to God, and the Lord of glory hears his voice. He hears the voice of the disobedient one. He hears the voice of the fleeing servant. And if that isn't amazing enough, let me remind you where he hears him from. Jonah says in verse 2, out of the belly of Sheol I cried. The belly of Sheol. Do you know where this is? Sheol can be translated as the hidden world, the unseen world, or the grave. This is where Jonah is. He's in his pit of death. And he cries out to God, a cry that isn't even heard by the great fish himself, Nobody cared. Nobody knew. Nobody could care or know. But God does. God hears the cry of his wayward, disobedient prodigal. He hears him. He turns his almighty ear to Jonah. Now, some of us may be in the belly of Sheol this morning internally, overwhelmed by circumstances, withdrawn from the world around us, running to everything and anything but God. If you'll only cry out to him this morning, if you'll only call upon his name, he will give ear to your voice. Verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Pay close attention. Jonah says to God, you cast me into the deep. Wait a second. Who cast Jonah into the sea? What does chapter 1, verse 15 say? So they, that is the men on the ship, picked up Jonah and hurled him into the sea. But Jonah says to God, you cast me into the deep. This is essential for us to grasp this morning. God's sovereignty. It's God's will that Jonah be cast into the sea. Not only that, but Jonah acknowledges that it's God himself who cast him into the sea, not the men on the ship. God's in control. Granted, Jonah shouldn't have even been here in the first place because he should have been going to Nineveh. However, nonetheless, God casts Jonah into the raging sea. God's the one who hurled the storm at the ship. This wasn't some series of unfortunate events. God Almighty is in control. For some of us, this is shocking. But we need to know that in everything that happens in our lives, God's working out his own sovereign will. He intends what's actually good for us, though it may not feel good in the moment. Why couldn't God simply allow Jonah to just arrive at Tarshish and then call him back then? He would have felt a lot better, right? Jonah wouldn't be all wet, he wouldn't have had to drown, he wouldn't be stuck in the belly of the fish, but he'd be further from God. He would have been more comfortable, but actually in more danger. He would have had a more pleasant life, but actually be headed towards destruction. God's grace purposed for the storm to strike that ship. God's grace cast Jonah into the raging sea. God's grace determined for Jonah to be swallowed up in a great fish. And God's grace ordained Jonah to be held in deepest darkness for 3 days and 3 nights. This is God's grace towards Jonah. And it could well be God's grace towards you and I. God's a lot more concerned with our holiness than he is with our comfort. God's will is for us to be conformed into the image of his Son. This is his work by the power of his Holy Spirit. God's not afraid to ruin our comfortability for the sake of our holiness and his glory. God isn't averse to hurling a great storm into your life for the sake of you clinging to the one who is life. God's purposed glory through suffering. If you're suffering here today, friend, if you're sick, you've lost something, someone, you're going through a tough circumstance, this could be God's grace to you. Lift your eyes to God and live by faith and not by sight. Think for a moment about the ultimate demonstration of God's grace. When offering up his son Jesus to be crushed in our place, it wasn't a pleasant experience. It wasn't comfortable. The nail-pierced hands and feet of our Lord, his asphyxiation as he drowned in his own fluids, becoming sin and suffering the full wrath of God, his separation from the Father. This was the most horrible of experiences, and yet I'm here to tell you today, friends, that the greatest grace of God is seen at the cross of Calvary, where our Lord and Savior hung upon that tree. The life, death, burial, resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ is the greatest tangible expression of God's grace that we have. And it involved suffering in order to produce its eternal life-giving end. Let's follow on in verse 4. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. Jonah feels that he's been driven away from the very sight of God, yet it's here that Jonah speaks further into God's character. Jonah's been focused on God's justice. Jonah's justly been driven away. He's been disciplined according to his disobedience. However, Jonah sees more in the character of God than justice alone. In the second half of verse 4, Jonah speaks to the grace of God. He feels that he can look again upon the temple of God, a prodigal, a disobedient child of God. He feels that he can cry out to his God and be heard and be delivered, even after his most wretched disobedience to the very voice of God. Jonah trusts that he can look again to the Lord and find deliverance and acceptance. Some of you might be sitting here today thinking, Daniel, you've got no idea how far I've run from God. I'm still running, and I don't intend on stopping anytime soon. If you're running from God today, you need to know that you cannot escape his sight. Even if you're beneath the ocean in the belly of a great whale, dead to this world, God sees you, and he cares for you. And he's calling you to repent and look again to him. Running isn't solving anything. You haven't found deliverance in running from God. You haven't got peace. Running won't help you. The Father stands awaiting your return. He doesn't want to receive you begrudgingly. The Father wants to joyfully receive and restore you if only you call upon him. Won't you call upon God this morning and confess your desperate need of him? Hear Jonah's words in verses 5 through 6. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Jonah saying, God, I've gone down to the land of the dead. I've gone down as far as I can go. I'm in the land whose bars have closed upon me forever. There's no way out. I cannot return from this place. My life's been swallowed up and I'm locked away in this place forever. There's a difficult truth we need to swallow this morning. And it's this. It's more beneficial for Jonah to be storm-ravished and shipwrecked than it is for him to make it safely to Tarshish. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? It's better for Jonah to be thrown into the fierce waters and drowned than it is for him to set his pinky toe on the hair of a speck of sand in Tarshish. Better for Jonah to die than for him to continue to flee from God. Do you believe this? Many of us flee the presence of God because we're frustrated with Him. God hasn't met your expectations. God's allowed something or someone dear to you to be taken away. The ferocious storms of life are battering you on every side, and you know you're in a dangerous place. But instead of seeking God, you're closing your eyes and going to sleep. Walking, waiting for the storms of life to pass you by, it's not going to happen. Like we do on a stormy night when we're all snuggled up in bed and we hear the storm raging outside, but it makes it oh so comfortable to go to sleep and wake up the next morning and the storm's gone. But let me tell you this morning, the storms of life will not pass you by. There's no length of time that you could sleep to escape the trouble of this world. Jesus himself says in John 16, verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Focus on Jesus. Jonah can't save himself. The bars have closed upon him forever. He's locked in and there's nothing he can do about it. But that isn't the end of his story. Look with me again at the end of verse 6. Yet you brought up my life from the pit, O Lord my God. There is a resurrection. Almighty God's able to raise Jonah from the land whose bars have closed upon him forever. He's able to deliver up Jonah's life from the pit. Don't you see this morning? There's only one who can deliver you from your current state. There's only one who can bring you back to life. There's only one who's able. And the good news to us this morning is that he isn't just able, but he's willing. He's willing and able. He will bring you out of the pit. Look again to him. Look again to your Lord, to your Master. Cry to him today. He stands willing and able to deliver you. But to cry out. You need to admit that you're desperate. To cry out, you have to confess that you're needy. This morning, you may be in the deepest pit you've ever experienced in your life. Outwardly, everyone thinks you're fine. There's no disruptions. There's nobody aware. You've got us all fooled, but deep down in your heart, you know that you are being destroyed in there. Lift your voice to God this morning. Cry out to Him in your darkness. He knows your state, and He stands ready, willing, and able to deliver you. Listen to Jonah's words in verses 7 through 9. When my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Jonah was on death's door. His life was fainting away, and it wasn't until his lowest point that he lifted his voice to God. We flee God like this. Jonah represents the Christian. Yet Jonah cried out to God, and God accepted him in his repentance and heard his prayer. Jonah makes it clear that those who trust in anything or anyone other than God for deliverance will not find it. Just as the men on the ship discovered, when they cried out to their false gods, there was no deliverance for them. If you're seeking anything or anyone other than Jesus for your deliverance today, there's no hope for you in that. Heed the words of Jonah today. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He's the owner. There's no salvation outside of Jesus Christ. You can seek any idol you choose, but you'll never find deliverance in them. Salvation belongs to God. This is true whether you've never turned to Him and you need to seek Him for deliverance for the very first time, or if you're a believer and you've been running from God for days, weeks, months, or even years. Salvation belongs to Jesus Christ. Won't you call to Him today and know His deliverance? Finally, look with me in verse 10. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Outrageous. Jonah runs from God. God pursues Jonah. Jonah suffers in his disobedience. Jonah cries out to God from his most desperate place. God hears him. And immediately speaks to Jonah's holding place, and he's set free. This is the God whom we worship. The God who can speak but one word, and it's done. The God who can bring the dead heart to life. The God who redeems your life from the pit. His name is Jesus. Do you see the grace of God in your life this morning? Is there a storm that God has sent to you to wake you up from your running? Are you drowning in overwhelming circumstances? Has your frustration with God and rejection of Him driven you into an unescapable pit? There's deliverance for you today. But deliverance is only for the desperate. Deliverance is only for those who recognize they cannot save themselves. Are you desperate this morning? Are you a desperate man? Are you a desperate woman? Are you needy? Salvation belongs to the Lord. If you're not, then you need to know this. The storm isn't going to stop. It's going to get more fearsome. The circumstances aren't going to get more manageable. They're going to get more overwhelming. The pit isn't going to get any shallower, but more hollowed out. Why? Because this is God's grace to you. That you might recognize your need for Him and call upon Him to know His deliverance. Today is the day of salvation. Don't presume that you can call out to God tomorrow. This moment's all that we have. Take this moment to be honest with God. You can't scare or surprise Him. Bring your prayer before Him this morning, that He might hear your voice. Take this opportunity to confess to God why you're frustrated with Him. Don't remain in the darkness. It leads only to death and destruction. Take this moment now to lift your voice to God, and then I'll close our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your steadfast love. We thank You for Your grace, for Your Son, dear Lord Jesus. Thank You that You pursue us, Your enemy. Those who are against You, Lord, You seek us and You find us and You save us. And Lord, we thank You that even as we're Your children, as we wander away like sheep, You seek us out. You bring us back. You are the one that salvation belongs to. And God, pray for each of us here today that You will allow us Your grace, that we would not flee or stray from You, Lord. We have, I pray that You would draw us back to You today. Lord, You know each of our stories. You know where we're at. And I just pray, Lord, that no matter where we're at today, that You would touch our hearts. You would remind us again that You are the deliverer. And Lord, if any of us those deep, dark pits, Lord, and no one else knows, you know, and I pray that today you will give us the power by your Holy Spirit to seek you and to call out to you and to know your deliverance today. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.